Welcome back into the show on this Thursday as we continue toward week six of the college football season. A lot of big games this weekend, but it's not really what's happening on the field that's drawing all the attention at this point. It's what's going on off of the field, and that, of course, is conference expansion. It was reported earlier today that TCU has been invited and will probably join the Big 12 next year. That's news because they were supposed to join the Big East, and Big East seems to be falling apart. So now they're going to join the Big 12. I'm joined today by Josh Van Zandt, who's been with us before and has a lot of thoughts about the conference expansion as well as other things to do in college football. Josh, good afternoon. Appreciate you being with us.
Thank you, Jack. I enjoyed being on the show. Thanks for having me.
Well, just your initial reaction to what the news of the day, which is TCU deciding that they'll have no part of the Big East and they'll go to the Big 12.
Well, I think it's a good idea for TCU just for geography, because traveling to UConn and areas in the Northeast from Texas would be way too expensive for a college that's just now really starting to hit their stride. And then for the, I guess now the Big Eight, they'll probably look to be the Alphabet Conference, probably going after SMU and BYU, just to try to get back to the 10 to 12 teams as quick as they can.
I guess it's kind of reminiscent of the old Southwest Conference, even though obviously Arkansas isn't involved this time around. But, you know, they had all the Texas teams in Arkansas back in the day, and TCU is a part of that. So I guess maybe they're trying to go back.
Yeah, it looks like they're trying to get back to the Southwest Conference and what's left of that, plus the Big Eight, to form one conference like they did before. But now they're just struggling to find anybody that wants to play with Texas and Oklahoma. Nobody wants to share it. Nobody wants to be in the same look in the conference with them.
And one of the biggest deals in this whole process is the fact that Missouri, of course, are they in or are they out of the Big 12? And a lot of people, there were reports saying the other day that they were exploring options. Somebody said they were going to the SEC. Then other people, no, they're staying in the Big 12. If they did come to the SEC, that would obviously be a big loss to the Big 12. Can't see how that would benefit the gain of TCU and the loss of Missouri. It looks like it's a little one-sided there.
Yeah, it is. It is a little one-sided, but what I guess the Big 12 is looking at, or they're just in kind of defense mode right now, is they're just looking for the hot name that they can get into their conference. And with TCU winning the Rose Bowl last year, it makes them look like they are getting all the newer teams that are moving around, where in all actuality, they're losing teams to the SEC very quickly.
Well, you and I are SEC fans, and we'll talk about it from a biased SEC perspective for a minute. What do you think about Missouri? I mean, I know my opinion is I'm not too high on them. I think they don't bring a whole lot to the table, and they would just cause some of the traditions that we know and love in the Southeastern Conference to perhaps be in jeopardy. So that's my opinion. What's your thought on it?
Yeah, with Missouri coming in, it's really not about what I think the fans want. I think more of it's what possibly Commissioner Slive and the people in downtown Birmingham want is just the money. Because you'll have now the Kansas City, St. Louis market area that'll pump more money in, and then you possibly have the destruction of it, maybe the Alabama-Tennessee or Alabama-Auburn game. The Alabama-Auburn game would have to be moved because Auburn would probably shift to the east, and then Alabama would lose Tennessee altogether. So that would damage two rivalries and two traditions right off the bat. So it may be a good financial move, but for a traditional move, it stinks, really.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, I was underwhelmed at the Texas A&M edition. I know Texas A&M, I'm warm to it a bit because they are a decent team. I guess they do bring part of the state of Texas in recruiting, and I understand all that, and they certainly will benefit economically with the TV markets out in Houston and so forth. But, boy, to have Texas A&M and then adding Missouri, I just don't feel like we're gaining anything. I think we're watering down what has been a pretty good product the last couple of years.
Yeah, well, if you look at the last 5 years right off the bat, you see BCS national champions are coming out of this conference. And I think that's what Texas A&M and Missouri are looking at is money. But the SEC, I believe they probably wanted possibly Oklahoma and Texas more than A&M and Missouri, so they didn't get their number one to come in, so they pulled in their number twos. And that's not even talking about any teams possibly coming off the East Coast right, or out of the state of Florida.
Well, let's talk about that. If you're Commissioner Van Zandt here, and you have the power to, and you know, you're looking at all factors considered, money and everything, and you have to find two on the East Coast to match, just assuming that Missouri comes and we have Texas A&M and Missouri, to get to 16, who on the East Coast on the ACC side looks the most appealing?
Most appealing, and also looking at geography also,
right,
and it brings back rivalries in the conference, would be Georgia Tech, just because you have the Georgia rivalry, the Auburn rivalry there, and it's also in Atlanta, one of the biggest markets. And then possibly you either look to Florida State, which who knows if Florida would ever let them in.
Right.
They'd probably throw the biggest stink for that. Or Clemson. Again, Clemson's a team on the rise, and they could just fall apart within 2 years. But geographically,
yeah,
I believe that would be the best. Because I wouldn't go all the way up into the Virginia, West Virginia area, because that's just, again, you're looking at Missouri and Texas A&M having to travel from Gainesville, Florida, or Tuscaloosa to Morgantown. That's a long haul for anybody.
It is. And I've never been too impressed either, and this is just a personal opinion, but I've never been too impressed with West Virginia's program as a whole. I think they can get hot lightning in a bottle every once in a while and make it to a big bowl, but by and large, they're not going. They will bring a little bit on the basketball side, but basketball doesn't drive the ship. Football does. And
we're a football-driven conference. That's
right.
True.
And that's the thing. You know, I've heard Missouri fans talk about how they bring something in basketball, and I was thinking, you know, last time I checked, the SEC doesn't do things for basketball. If so, things would look a lot different in January and February.
That's true. That is true.
Well, it'll be interesting to see. I think there's a good chance Missouri will come, whether we like it or not, but just because of the reasons you mentioned. It's money. It's the people in power seem to want them. Although the Birmingham News reported today that Missouri doesn't have – their sources tell them that the Missouri project does not have enough support with the presidents, and, of course, they're the ones going to be making the decision in the Southeastern Conference. So if that's the case, then I don't think they will come.
Yeah, I read this morning that they needed 9 votes to have the support, and they said coming up slightly short. But I noticed it's mentioned that Auburn was in favor of it, and that the Alabama president was not in favor of it. I did read that this morning, and it was very interesting that the state was split that way.
Yeah, it is. And you have to wonder what the politics are going involved too, and involved with them coming, Texas A&M coming. Of course, we know Texas A&M is already a done deal. So it is interesting, and it's something that'll continue to evolve. I wouldn't be surprised before the football season's end if we don't have an entirely different, changed looking college landscape in football and basketball.
That's something we'll be looking forward to the whole probably month of October, November, and then December rolls around, it'll get back into championships.
I don't know why, Josh, they do this during the season. We need something to talk about in the sleepy months of June and May and April when nothing's going on. Why do they wait till now to start doing all this?
I think it's since football's on the front burner right now, that's when they're going to talk about it. If it was June and July, nobody's really talking about it, and it's not going to be a big hot topic. But during football season, we get so inundated with football that everybody wants to talk about it even more. Now, it takes away from the game on the field, but it gives you some plenty of stuff for to talk about on the radio and everything.
Well, let's shift now to the game on the field, and you've seen the play in the And of course, all across the college football landscape so far this year. And I'm just going to open up with a big, wide, general question to start off. What has stood out to you the most so far?
To me, what stood out the most so far is that, and this is probably not a very popular opinion, but I think the SEC, minus Alabama and LSU, is really struggling this year to find any type of identity, because you have the two power teams that play defense and run the ball, And then you've got the other 10 teams right now that are trying to figure out if we're a running team, if we're a passing team, if we're a defensive team. And I think it's kind of watered themselves down a little bit behind the two powerhouses in this conference, in which November 5th rolls around, we're looking at what I believe to be National Championship Game A. And I know that's kind of hard for me to say being a Auburn guy, but just by looking at it, I don't think there's another team anywhere in the country that can stay on the field with either one of those teams.
Well, and you mentioned Clemson earlier. They're having a run in the ACC. Oklahoma, of course, is the favorite, although they play Texas this weekend, which they could give them some problems. And then you got Wisconsin in the Big Ten. I'm really impressed with Wisconsin. The problem with the Big Ten is everybody else in that conference is just
is
not very good. Yeah.
This could be the year that they've always hoped and prayed for with the BCS, that they just have just all over chaos with probably a SEC team being undefeated. If Clemson stays hot, they could be undefeated. You're looking at nobody's going to beat Wisconsin unless Wisconsin beats themselves. Oklahoma this weekend has their biggest test, and then Oklahoma State a little later. And then you've got, as Brando says, the flying ointment of Boise floating around out there. And they've already had their two tough games. So you could look at possibly 5 to 6 teams being undefeated at the end of the year and just chaos training.
That would be very interesting, and you're right. The question in that case would be, obviously, who would go, and it's hard to say. I mean, it would all come down to and then, like you said, you would have chaos, and one conference would, I mean, let's say Stanford was undefeated and they were left out, well, then the Pac-12 complain, you know, that they didn't get in. And if you had a LSU or Alabama undefeated and Oklahoma, I think those two would probably be playing each other. Then you might have a Wisconsin and a Clemson and a Stanford, and I mean, you would have a lot of angry members on your hand if that were the case.
And also, what would keep you from possibly having a one-loss LSU playing an undefeated Alabama? I know at one time they talked about Michigan and Ohio State playing each other, or a one-loss Alabama playing LSU as a rematch. Because those, to me, like I said, visually, there's nobody better than those two teams right now. And if you have a true BCS national champion, I think it would have to be played by the best two teams, which I think would be LSU and Alabama, still, even with one loss.
And the only thing, and I could see that happening. I could see the argument for that. The only thing I would say about that, and I know the SEC is down this year, but it's still the SEC, and LSU and Alabama, we're already talking about the game on November 5th. Well, Alabama, they don't really have any tests other than, I guess, Tennessee would be their closest thing. But LSU, they're not done yet. They still have to play Florida at home, Tennessee in Knoxville. And by the way, Tennessee was a blown call at the end of the game last year away from beating them. People need to remember that. And then Auburn at home, I'm telling you, Auburn can cause matchup problems with LSU. Now, I don't know if they can beat them or not, but they can cause matchup problems. And then after that, Alabama, they play Auburn. They play Mississippi State, both on the road. LSU plays Ole Miss, they won't give them a test. But then they play Arkansas, and Arkansas. So, I mean, you could see both of them getting beaten more than once, and that would really bring the SEC down even more if neither one of them were undefeated at the end of the year.
That's true. That is a big statement. And I guess that's the reason the SEC is the best conference really in the country. Yeah. Even when their teams are down, they still got a shot at beating the number one or two team in the country, depending on which poll you're looking into.
And I would still submit that it's not even close. The SEC West is better than the SEC East. You look at, of course, it was proven last week as Auburn and Alabama both beat the arguably the top two teams, Florida and South Carolina, in the East. And then you have Auburn's only loss this point, and everybody wants to talk about Auburn being down. Well, their only loss this point is to an undefeated Clemson team. Now, that could change, Saturday, but that's still the only loss they have.
Yes. Yeah, Clemson's beat three top 15 teams 3 weeks in a row. So maybe it's just showing that Dabo Swinney has saved his job, and now he's getting an extension now. I think it almost looks like.
Dabo Swinney, it is amazing. I thought everybody before the season, I gave him no shot. I thought there's no way he's going to resurrect this Clemson team, and I just didn't think he was that good of a coach. And all of a sudden, Clemson, here they are 5-0. But, you know, it would be just like Clemson to go out and lose this weekend to Boston College.
They're a bad game from Wake Forest to Boston College of being back where they always have been.
And you talked of earlier, and of course, the one of the things that is good about the Big 12 rotation, and they don't play a championship game. That's bad for them, but they do get to play everybody in the league. So you know that there will only be one undefeated team coming out of that league. And Oklahoma State right now, I don't know that they're getting the respect that they deserve. They are a pretty good football team. They could end up being a fly in this ointment, as Tim Brando says.
Yeah, that's great. Oh, yeah, Oklahoma State could end up knocking anybody out. It's just... And Oklahoma State, their defense is what worries me. But last year, Auburn showed that you didn't have to have a great defense to get to the top. It's just as long as you had a sufficient one that could keep you in the ball game. So Oklahoma State's got that chance. But I just don't – I think Oklahoma's defense is going to be a little tough for them. But with Bob Stoops, there's always the big game that he possibly will choke in. And it's been proven in national championship games and – other games that he should win that he just lets float away. So you're right, Oklahoma State's got all, they've got all the makings of making that run too. So it's interesting to see who's going to be coming from where.
Well, before we end this conversation, I have to get your picks on the big games this weekend. Oklahoma, Texas, who wins that one?
It's been shown that whoever can run the ball the best wins the ball game. And I just think Oklahoma's going to be able to just get more yardage on the ground in Texas, even though Texas does have some good backs. But I think Oklahoma's going to outgain them on the ground. And through the air, I think Landry Jones will have a big day. So I think Oklahoma wins it probably by, I would say, two touchdowns, actually.
Yeah, I think you're probably going to end up being right on that one. Just don't see Texas has enough firepower. They'll probably come out fired up at the beginning of the game. How about Tennessee and Georgia? You know, everybody talks about how neither of these teams are any good, and that might be the case, but this game still matters for the Eastern Division championship. I see Derek Dooley's team pulling it out this week. How about you?
It's a tough one to pick. If it wasn't for the state of Mississippi, Mark Richt would probably have lost his job already this year. But if they can protect Aaron Murray, keep him on his feet, I think he'll be able to hurt the Tennessee defensive backs because they seem a little slow at the safety position. So he may be using Croyle out of the backfield. But it's going to be a tough back-and-forth game, and I'm going to have to disagree with you on this one and go probably by Georgia by 3 points on a late drive, and Mark Richt becomes St. Richt again, at least till the next week, till he loses to the next person he's not supposed to.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing. People want to jump. I think there's a good chance they will win this week. I like Tennessee because they're at home, but they have beaten Mississippi State, Ole Miss, and Coastal Carolina, and now everybody wants to give Mark Richt an extension. I'm like, come on, really? After beating Coastal Carolina, Ole Miss, and Mississippi State.
Like I said, thank goodness for the state of Mississippi for it.
Absolutely. And Houston Nutt, I read somewhere this week where they're not even thinking about getting rid of him, and he's 1-3, and his only win is to Southern Illinois. Well, actually, he did beat Fresno State last weekend. I forgot about that.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, they had a 10-point win over Fresno,
which I was very shocked that they got it. How about Auburn and Arkansas this weekend in Fayetteville? Can the Tigers pull it out? I'm cautious about picking against Auburn.
This is a tricky game. If Tuberville was still coaching for Auburn, I'd say Arkansas had it walking away. But I believe Auburn will still try to do what they did last week to South Carolina. So Arkansas is trying to control the ball, run Michael Dyer 40 times, run a lot of short runs, short passes and everything. But the problem is it's on the road. I think they'll come out fired up in the night game in Arkansas. I think they'll come out fired up and sustain it through maybe the first half, but probably just give out toward the end. And I hate to say it, but I see Arkansas winning by 3, but I wouldn't be surprised if Auburn had a chance on the last drive to win it. And if they did pull it out, I'd be happy. But I got to say, probably Arkansas by 3.
Well, my record so far with Auburn, I picked them to lose against Mississippi State, and they won that game. I picked them to win against Clemson. They lost that one. And I picked them to lose against South Carolina, and they won that one. So, for Auburn's sake, I've decided to pick Arkansas this week so they'll win again.
we appreciate that.
Well, oh, my goodness. Joshua, it's been a great 20 minutes. A lot of great discussion. Hope you'll come back. This is it's been fun.
Oh, yeah. Just give me a call whenever. I'd love to do it. Gets me out of work, too, so it makes the day go faster.
Well, and we appreciate... this segment by Josh is sponsored by Lakeshore Foundation. So
yeah, there we go. Yeah, sponsored by the great people at Lakeshore Foundation.
Lift
on a
it,
daily basis.
Lift it, load it, pack. Wait, that's Crane Works. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll be back tomorrow on the Bun Sports Show. Thanks for joining us.